We have many, many occasions to celebrate today and tomorrow too. And therefore, in order to cover everything, my sermon will last 4 hours. I woke you up. That's good. No, I can't last that long. 4 minutes, maybe, no. But today, of course, it's the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. And the thing that strikes me the most about this Mass is, of course, the introit, which really should give a flavor to the whole of each Mass, that it ennobles and illustrates. Da pacem Domine sustinenti uste, ut profete tui fideles inveniantur. Give peace, O Lord, to those who sustain thee. And ultimately, the word in Latin that is used here could also mean those who put up with thee. Being a faithful servant of God is not a piece of cake. It is the carrying of the cross after Jesus and after Mary. And so we ask him to give us the ability to follow him, to sustain this following of him. In the meantime, we have the beautiful gospel, and we have seen this is something that still happens today, the miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ wrought. And of course, the Pharisees were not concerned about the miracle. They hated Jesus so much, and we see this even today. They hated Jesus so much that they were picking on him because he cured on the Sabbath. They don't realize that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And in this case, in particular, it is his day, the day of the Lord, the Sabbath, which has been transferred by him, by Easter and Pentecost, to Sunday and not Saturday. And so he cures this person. In this antique translation that we have, it says the palsy. The Latin says he was a paralytic. I like that much better. But, you know, exactly, I wonder how many people can really explain to me without looking at a dictionary of Elizabethan language what the palsy means. But anyway, it's the fact that he was paralyzed. How or why, we are not told, and it's obviously not our business. But he was paralyzed. And of course, some of us are totally paralyzed or partially paralyzed, and we accept it as God wills. And so he cures this man. And everyone is agog. Look at what he has done. Except his enemies, who don't care what he does. They want to nail him, and they eventually do, don't they? But in addition to this, which is enough for us to meditate upon and think about, we have today and tomorrow two very, very, very special days in relation to us. Today, and this is the reason why we even have what is called Columbus Day, which is just in the secular calendar. Today is the feast of Our Lady of the Pillar, the first apparition of Our Lady after Jesus has ascended into heaven, after she has been assumed into heaven, most likely, after the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given and everything else, and yet all things, wonderful things are happening even then. In the year 40 AD, so very close to the time of the life of Christ, in fact, the Blessed Mother may still have been alive. According to some traditions, she lived to be 72. That's why the Franciscan crown or rosary has 72 Hail Marys. And St. James the Greater is in Spain with his disciples, having been sent by St. Peter, go and evangelize in the Iberian Peninsula. There was no Portugal as of yet. That wasn't really Spain yet. It was the Iberian Peninsula. And of course, he went, they went, he took his disciples with him. All of the apostles soon enough had their disciples after Pentecost. And they worked and they worked and they worked and they preached and they preached and they preached, just like I do, and nothing. It fell on deaf ears. Nobody wanted to become a Christian, a Catholic. So they were camping on the evening of yesterday by the river Ebro, across from the camp of Cesare Augusta, Caesar Augustus, which in modern day Spanish parlance is translated to Zaragoza. And they're praying and trying to decide whether they should go back to Jerusalem and get new orders. They're failing. They're not having any success. And then all of a sudden, a beautiful light comes from the heavens, and a pillar comes down, floating down, and on top of the pillar was the Blessed Mother with the baby Jesus. Now this is the year 40. Jesus has ascended into heaven. She has the baby Jesus. Jesus can do whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to. And that's why we can pray to Jesus, the infant of Prague here, or the baby Jesus in the crib, or Jesus on the cross, or Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And so, he can do and be whatever he wants, as long as he is he. So the Blessed Mother brings the baby Jesus to them. And she says, I bring this pillar. It's jasper, a beautiful pillar of jasper, which is still in Zaragoza. Many millions of people go to visit her. I have been there at least 3 or 4 times myself. And there is a particular part behind the pillar. The front is all decorated. Behind the pillar, there is a little oval in which you can insert your hand or your rosaries or whatever and touch the actual pillar that the Blessed Mother brought. And she told them, the faith will survive in Spain, in the Iberian Peninsula, till the end of time. And even though there are many, many difficulties in Spain, just as here, it's still surviving. We're still here. We may be few, but we are still surviving. And so it's a Lady of the Pillar. It has been celebrated on this day, on the 12th of October, since then, the year 40. In the meantime, we go forward in time. Many centuries have passed. Many wonderful things have passed. Horrible things, too. And it is the same eve in the year 1492. And the Italian sailor who was adopted by the Queen of Spain, Isabel I, and her husband, King Ferdinand, and they gave him money because he wanted to go around the world. Of course, everybody thought he was crazy. You're going to fall off when you get to the edge. We haven't fallen off yet. So the queen sells her jewelry and gives him the money, and they build 3 beautiful little ships compared to our ships of today. They're little tiny sailing boats, but they're beautiful. They still exist. And provide priests and provide sailors to be paid. And they go, and after months and months of sailing, they find nothing. And they were praying Vespers. Christopher Columbus was a Third Order Franciscan. And of course, some people try to paint him as a very evil and wicked man. And maybe he was when he was younger. Some of you were when you were younger too. Maybe you still are. Who knows? But they repented, just as we can repent. And so they were praying Vespers of Our Lady of the Pillar. It was a very, very important feast. And then the Blessed Mother inspires Christopher and says, "Tomorrow morning you shall see land." And so, on October the 12th, 1492, as the sailor was looking up at the top of the mast, all of a sudden, he yells out, to the surprise of everybody, they were getting ready to turn back, to go back to Spain, and all of a sudden he says, "Land ho!" The Blessed Mother fulfilled her promise. And they rejoice. And of course they thought they were reaching the India, the East Indies. No, they reached the West Indies. That's where they're called that. Hispaniola, the island that holds Santo Domingo, and Haiti, and then the other islands, Puerto Rico and Cuba and so forth. And of course, the rest is history. And we are here because of that. And then, of course, we go forward in history a few more years, not as many, to October the 13th, 1917, which we will celebrate tomorrow. And three little shepherds were tending their sheep, and they were saying the rosary. The rosary had already been given to St. Dominic, and from St. Dominic to the whole church, and promoted especially by St. Pius V and the Battle of Lepanto. And the children were saying the rosary. However, most people don't realize they were still children, even though they are now saints. But they were saying the rosary because they're supposed to say the rosary before they can eat and before they can play, while they're tending the sheep. And so they thought, well, let us hurry this up a little bit. And so they were saying the rosary in this fashion. Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. They finished in 5 minutes. It wasn't a whole hour or whatever. And in the meantime, the Blessed Mother appeared. October the 13th, 1917. She told them to say the rosary, pray the rosary. And she gave them each different little revelations of their death, of their future. And of course, St. Jacinta and St. Francisco would die within the next 2 years. Only Venerable Lucia dos Santos would survive. And she would receive other revelations of the Immaculate Heart, of the place of the Immaculate Heart in the church, and by the cross, and by the tabernacle, which she still is. And so, wondrous things that God has given to us. Perhaps, mentally or spiritually, we all have the palsy. But we open our hearts and our souls to our Lord Jesus Christ and to His most holy and Immaculate Mother, Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima, and we will be filled with the gifts that she brings, in particular, her Son, Jesus Christ, and then her most holy spouse, the Holy Spirit, who is the life of the Church until the end of time. So tomorrow we will celebrate in full blast, and today we already anticipate this wondrous and holy day, this day which is the feast day of this shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima. And to her we consecrate ourselves, this parish and shrine. We consecrate our families, our children. We consecrate all our young men and women who are in the seminary or in the convent, and all the other ones who are being called who have not yet answered. All of these things we consecrate, and especially because it is one of my pet leitmotifs, as it were, we consecrate the babies, those little noisemakers that we love so much. The babies, how wonderful it is, how glorious it is that God renews us with the gift of life. May God bless us. May God bless you. And may there be many, many more babies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.